Assalamu alaikum, my dear listeners. This is a live broadcast from Masjid Quba, and I am your storyteller for tonight. This evening, we are going to continue the book, Khadija radiallahu anha, Mother of History's Greatest Nation. This book was authored by Fatima Barakatullah. Fatima also wrote it in honor of her mother, Najma Ansari, who was the first storyteller and teacher in Fatima's life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them both abundantly. Ameen. The author, Fatima, wrote this book, I think, in exquisite detail, lovely descriptive words with strong femininity. So I'm going to take this nice and slow. Enjoy. Chapter 3, Waraka. First of all, my dear listeners, for those of you that don't know, Waraka bin Nawfal was the cousin of Khadija radiallahu anha. Waraka was the son of Khadija radiallahu anha's paternal uncle. Okay, so here we go. Waraka rocked forward in his rickety chair as he dipped his pen into a pot of smooth black ink, his eyes looking intently at the parchment in front of him from beneath furrowed brows. The back legs of the chair creaked up ever so slightly as he leaned over the parchment upon which he was writing. One wrong move and he'd have to begin his work all over again. The flickering candle on his little wooden table cast a bent over thin, shadowy form onto the wall opposite. The wall was so knobbly that the old man's silhouette looked even more crooked and frail than he really was. Eventually, he put his pen down, sat back in his chair, and closed his eyes to rest them. How quickly time passes, he sighed to himself. Why, it was only yesterday that I was sitting under a palm tree with my comrades, arguing about a man, life, and the universe. He smiled as his mind travelled back to the days when he was a much younger and sprightlier version of himself. The rendezvous he remembered took place decades ago with his friends Zaid, Uthman, and Ubaidullah. The four men had utter disdain for the religion of their forefathers, which made no sense to them. Al-Lut, Al-Uzza, and Manat, all idols made of stone or wood, never harmed nor benefited anyone at all. Yet, on countless occasions, they had seen their people bow down, offer food, and slaughter their finest animals in front of them, calling them the daughters of Allah. The Meccans knew that there was one unseen creator, Allah. But instead of worshipping and bowing down to him alone, they would worship hundreds of idols, claiming that they had special powers and they could speak to Allah on their behalf to have their prayers answered. There, in the vicinity of the sacred house, the four companions made a solemn vow to one another. We will set out and shall not rest until we find the true religion, Zayd declared. Uthman, Ubaidullah, and Waraka nodded in unison and set off in different directions, determined to find the truth. Waraka's body, now feeble and sore with age, shivered as he reminisced. He was a scholar of the Christian scriptures and would often be found engrossed in study with his back hunched over as he transcribed manuscripts of old. They were all that was left of the Torah of Prophet Musa alayhi salam and the Injil of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Thick layers of yellowing parchment and tanned animal skins lay in enormous piles in his room as he worked meticulously to translate the manuscripts into Arabic. Only a few people in Mecca could read and write at that time, and Waraka was one of them. Khadija radiallahu anha was very fond of Waraka and visited him often. Wondrous stories of prophets and portents were told at the house of Waraka, and in his company Khadija radiallahu anha could be transported to distant lands and become engrossed in epic tales of virtue. Tales of valor from a bygone age. In a city where greed had consumed all but a few, the needy found comfort and generosity at Waraka's house. Do the rich not know that the day will come when Allah will ask them about how they treated the poor? He would fume. Ha! If they heeded the story of the great Pharaoh of Egypt, they would know that it is Allah who gave them their wealth, and he can just as easily take it away. If Waraka saw a man carrying a little girl out of the city towards the desert, it would send a chill down his spine, and he would shudder at the thought of what the man was about to do. In Mecca, the terrible practice of burying little girls alive was rampant. If a boy was born, his arrival was celebrated, as boys meant strength for the family. However, the Meccans had sunk to such depths of ignorance that if a little girl was born, they would be saddened, ashamed, and unable to show their faces. Girls, they thought, were weak and burdensome. Because of this, they would take the dear little child and bury her under the sand until she drew her last breath. Waraka bowed his head with sorrow when he heard of such customs in his own hometown. He would plead with their fathers and even adopt them. Many, many little lives had been rescued by the compassion of Waraka. It was here that Khadija radiallahu anha felt more content than she felt anywhere else in Mecca. She too shunned the idol worship all around her. She too was known for her high moral values, so much so that she was called At-Tahira, the pure one. She too saw the deep unfairness of Meccan life. Often she visited Waraka to glean something of his immense knowledge of the world. In the troubled times in which Khadija radiallahu anha lived, a trusted advisor and learned teacher were just what she needed, and Waraka was both. My dear listeners, now that we have finished chapter 3, let's go through some key points. Number 1, Waraka was one of 4 men who left the pagan faith of Mecca. Number 2, Waraka was incredibly intelligent. Not only did he have a high IQ, we know this because he was one of the few who could read and write at the time, but also he had a strong level of EQ, EQ being the emotional quotient. Number 3, Khadija radiallahu anha trusted Waraka and even saw him as a teacher. She was fond of him and visited him, often listening to stories of the prophets. They both had much in common, such as their good and noble morals and values. Okay, next week on Thursday, we'll continue this book and head straight into chapter 4. But before we close off, let's continue to remind ourselves about simple and easy sunnahs of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's sunnah is having a pleasant smile. Ibn Jaz reported, "I have not seen anyone who smiled more than the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Now, let me share a little bit more insight into this. Smiling has been shown to increase the natural antidepressant hormone, serotonin, causing the one who wears a smile to be happier. We underestimate the power of a smile on both ourselves and those around us. This characteristic is highly contagious and plays a massive role in building relationships with those around you. A positive mind and positive attitude are irreplaceable in the quest to be productive and achieve your goals in life. Smiling is a simple, inexpensive act that helps lift your mood and also makes you feel more grateful and content. Since our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seen frequently doing it, there is even more reason to smile. So let's cut down on the frowning. Smile more often and spread joy and peace around you, just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed. So let's follow this great sunnah. I think that's a great way to close off this evening. Remember to pray the sleeping dua and the kalima before you sleep. Until next Thursday, Assalamu alaikum.